was sailing. Is that the old ship of Zion I see? Its hull was bent and battered from the storms of life I could see. Waves were rough, but that old ship kept sailing. Is that the old ship of Zion I see? At the stern of the ship stood the captain. I could hear
of the Lord. I tell you what, everything looks great, and all the campaigns that are going on, that's wonderful. And appreciate Brother Jason picking me up there from the hotel. Preacher, bring me all the way over here from the meeting and the good hotel room. The opportunity to come back and give you, as Paul said in in Acts 14:26-27, whether they gather the church together and rehearse all that God had done with them, and how they'd open the door of faith unto the Gentiles. And so tonight, the Lord willing, we're going to try to give you a little update. But anyway, appreciate the opportunity. Appreciate your prayers and your support and your faithfulness. There are two things I believe as a preacher of 35 years that will bring the blessings of God on the church. One is take care of your preacher. Love your pastor. Stand with him. Stand behind him. And be the Aaron the hers, the steady and stay his hands. And the other thing is missions. I believe God will bless a missionary-minded church, soul-winning church, and helping not only from Jerusalem to go, but in Judea, Samaria, and the other part of the earth. And, you know, in my experience among churches across the nation, I think churches are only doing two parts of the Great Commission. They're doing Jerusalem, and they're doing the uttermost, but they're not going into Judea and Samaria. And I think we need to reach out in those areas also. But anyway, it's so good to see you and come back and be here in the house of God. I guess it's been several years, preacher. But anyway, we'll be praying for your mission conference in February. And maybe I pray it'll be the best year that you've ever had. Amen. You know, God's bigger than our economy. Amen. And I tell you what, we need to trust Him, get our eyes off of the economy and off of the things and all the news media, and keep our eyes focused on the oath on the Lord. Amen. And I tell you what, He's never failed us and never will. And so we got to believe Him and trust Him and go upon the principles of the Word of God. But anyway, my name is Brother R.G. Smith, and my wife Teresa. I call her Mother Teresa. She don't like that. But anyway, I said, it's good to have Mother Teresa with us tonight. Both people look around, you know. But anyway, I got three daughters, Rebecca, Rachel, and Kimberly. And of course, I got four girl grandbabies. And we don't have no boys, not yet. Don't have a boy dog. And we're going to do something about it, fix that. So anyway, we're praying for our grandson. But one of these days, maybe we'll have. That's, you know, all these daughters and granddaughters reason why I have no hair, you know. And but anyway, maybe one of these days we'll get that grandson. But you pray for us, and we just come back. I was in the Philippines in May, and as I am the acting or vice president, and then also I'm the international field missionary. And for 10 years, I worked in the Middle East there in Lebanon and Egypt. And in Egypt, we made 23 trips into Egypt. We helped start and strengthen 26 churches, Bible college there. And I have a tremendous whole thing of those, tray of those, but I only brought what I've been doing for the last 2.5 years there in Nairobi, Malaba, Mananja, and Uganda. And so anyway, in those areas, we've got 28 churches starting now. And so we're going to show you the things there. And the church we built, main church in Malaba, 45-foot wide, 90-foot long. But we'll show you some exciting things there. But anyway, we're excited about what God is doing around the world. God's in the saving business. And you know, I tell you what, we've got unreached places and unreached people all over the world. And so IBOM, born about 15 years old, and Dr. Runyon, of course, he's the president. He and I were, it was amazing how God put us together. And I was in Israel and then going into Egypt. But anyway, he and I were sitting in the Jerusalem Gate Hotel, and he asked me if I'd pray about coming with IBOM. And he had just about a little year and a half formed it. And so I'd resigned my church, and I told him what God put in my heart to do. I was preaching to 400 Muslim in Coptic on a Sunday. And there in Egypt, and the Lord had spoke to me and put missions in my heart, scared me to death. And pastored 17 years, and then me be a missionary, me on deputation. And I taught all that stuff in Bible college, and now I was going to have to act upon it. So anyway, now it's been 12 years. February started 13. We got 123 churches started around the world, and we built 37 church buildings thus far. And our goal is to get them indigenous and autonomous, you know, maintaining accountability. And so that's what we do. We work with the national concept. But anyway, we have a main church out of that church, a college, and then we'll take start those churches right out from under that local church, and then take and we'll put them full time, and then we'll help them get into a building. And then we'll taper the support down. And then we want them to get in to be indigenous and then autonomous once they prove themselves. That's the way we've been working. And so we've had a pretty good successful track with that. But anyway, presently, Lebanon, Egypt, Philippines, Mexico, West Kenya, which is Nairobi, then, of course, the Malaba, which is there in central, and then right on down south into Uganda. Mananja up near there in Nairobi area. Then also we have, of course, America and Brother Marsh Sherlin out there in Montana doing a good job. IBOM, we're excited, and we're moving forward. And I remember one year, it was a couple of years ago, Dr. Runyon figured it up, just in the campaigns and all the meetings and different things going on. I mean, a minimum of 20,000 people got saved several years ago. And, I mean, the numbers are climbing. We don't tell everything because a lot of times people think that's in missionary stories, you know. But I preach, you know, the largest meeting I've ever preached in, we had 2,000 saved in 3 days. We've had 700 saved in the Philippines, 800 saved. Just come back, there from Africa and had a tremendous number there saved, in the Philippines saved, just good numbers. But the Bible says, and when they were in Antioch, Syria, it said, and a great number, the Bible says there in Acts chapter 11. Well, you can tell I'm off, but anyway, chapter 11, there in the book of Acts, but anyway, it said, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. You know, sometimes people are afraid of numbers. Well, God put it in the Bible, amen, said a great number. Well, let me show you these slides here. I'm kind of like, Pharaoh, I won't let God's people go. So anyway, my wife always tells me to preach like making biscuits. Said, what is that? She'll say, put shortening in it, amen. I tell you what, sometimes, I tell people, the worst death you can die is to be preached to death. And you ever sit there sometime, boy, if you don't hush, I'm going to die. I'm just going to die. It's over. But anyway, I'll try not to do that tonight. We want to show you the presentation. And, of course, this is the old style. I do have some things on PowerPoint, but this right here is on the slide presentation, and so anyway, bear with me, and I'll talk through it. And so anyway, we'll go ahead and show those, preacher, and then we'll come back and preach to you out of the book of Romans, chapter number 15, on Paul's roundabout. All right? All right, let's all stand, take our Bibles now, turn to the book of Romans tonight, chapter number 15. I would love to brought everything on the Middle East. I got probably 400 slides, but anyway, you don't want to see them all tonight, amen? All right, but anyway, that's just a little bit of part of the ministry, and we're excited about what the Lord is doing. And I do have some prayer cards here, and we'll put them down at the front, preacher, and maybe some of the people would like to have one there, and you pray for us. But anyway, one of the things I do covet is I covet your prayers, and thank you for your faithfulness to pray and to help us. And I guess one of the things, really, you know, people ask me all the time different needs, different things. I tell the preacher a lot of my responsibility is when we have a conference, it's like here in Africa, we had a conference there, you know, it takes about 3,000, 3,500, sometimes 4,000. My trip into Africa is about, you know, 2,800 to 3,000. The Philippines usually about 2,000 altogether. And so those are different things that we have to raise and we have to take and do that. And so, you know, the way I fund a lot of that is I do it through my meetings and try to raise it up through love offerings. And so one of the things I'm trying to do now is just trying to help raise the money and set it aside for a lot of the future trips that's coming up. And Lord willing, I'll probably be in Mexico. I'll be in the Philippines. I'll be in Africa. And possibly, me and Dr. Runyon are praying about it, going back to the Middle East, there in Egypt, maybe Lebanon. And so anyway, usually about $10,000 a year. I mean, it takes a lot of money to make things happen, to maintain accountability. And so anyway, you pray for us. But we appreciate your prayers and your faithfulness to keep us on the field. Amen. And doing the work of God. Now, your Bible's open, the book of Romans. We're going to read one verse. I'm going to pray and let you sit down. But I want you to go to verse number 19, down to verse number 19. Notice what Paul said, writing to the church of Rome, Romans chapter number 15. And he says here, through mighty signs, wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem, he said, and round about unto, he said, Illyricum. Now let's bow for prayer. Our Father, in Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, for the pastor, his family. We thank you, Lord, for a church that loves missions. We thank you, Lord, for a church that loves the gospel. We thank you, Lord, for their faithfulness to pray and to give. And, Lord, to send missionaries around the world. Thank you, Lord, for their support to IBOM and to help start churches in Lebanon, Egypt, Philippines, Mexico, and West Kenya, and America. And, Lord, as they support us, Lord, they have fruit in all those areas. God, thank you, Lord, for their love for you and Lord, for the ministry. Now, Lord, you know what's needed tonight. Help me, use me, give me that fresh oil, that anointing, the power of God. Give me wisdom, clarity of thought. And I pray I could be a blessing and send it, Lord, to the people of God. And Lord, bless my family back home. Be with them in a special way. Help us now. You know the need of the hour. We thank you, Lord, for answered prayer in the past. God, we know that you're able to do abundantly above that which we think or ask. And we know the verse, Lord, you said to call to me and I'll answer thee and I'll show thee great mighty things which thou knowest not of. And God, we know that you're able to do that. As Psalm 78, Lord, we know, said, can God. We know God can. And we thank you for that. And we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Now, just for a few minutes, I'll be through here. Let's see, preacher, it's 8 o'clock, 8:30, somewhere along there. But anyway, we'll get you out of here in just a few moments. But I want to just share some things with you about Paul's roundabout. And I love the Apostle Paul. I love the book of Acts. I love to see that pioneer spirit and that excitement and going into unreached places and unreached people around the world. Now, here in the book of Romans, I want you to turn over with me to the left just a moment. And I know you're very familiar with this right here, but I want you to go back to Romans 1 and look at verse number 16. But go to verse number 14. Notice what he said in Romans chapter number 1 there. He said, I'm a debtor both to the Greeks and the barbarians, both to the wise and the unwise. Now, notice what he said, so as much as, and notice the prepositional phrase. He said, in me, as much as in me. Another place, Paul said, by me. And Paul wanted God to use him. Paul wanted his ministry to be used of the Lord. And so anyway, he said, so as much as in me. You know, a lot of time I look at other people, and I marvel at them. And I really, I want to mentor my life in so many ways by those of my of peers and different ones. But you find Paul said, hey, he said, in me. He said, I am ready, he said, to preach the gospel to you that roam also, and I'm not ashamed. Look at verse 16. I know you're familiar with it, but anyway, he said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And Paul said there, he said, for, notice the antecedent of the for there, he said, for it is the power, the gospel is the power of God, he said, unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Now, go back with me to Romans 15 here, and then I've got eight things that I'm going to show you quickly, and I'll try not to be long on any of them because I want to carry through with the message on Paul's roundabout. And Paul's ministry covered about 35 years. His three campaigns covered really 10 years of, I guess, totally 2 years in southern Galatia, 4 years there in the area, what is called that of the second missionary campaign that started in at the book of Acts, chapter number 15, where Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brother in every city where we have preached and see how they do. And so anyway, that started, that second campaign, and went for 4 years. And then there in Acts chapter number 18, after he went up to the Jerusalem church and then came to the area of Phrygia, you'll find that started the third campaign. And of course, later on, of course, all three of those campaigns lasted about 10 years. But don't you notice something in the Bible? Notice the book of Romans here, chapter 15. Notice what he said. He said in verse number 16, he said that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, minister of the gospel of God, that the offering of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. He says here, right down to verse number 18, he said, for I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ have not wrought by me to make the Gentiles obedient. In other words, Paul was an apostle to that of the Gentile. He wanted to get the Gentiles saved. Though, I think it's 17 times in the book of Acts, you'll find time and time and time again, Paul was that to the Jew. He always wanted to go to the Jew. He loved the Jew. He wanted to reach them in the area of their synagogues, though they were very, very cruel to him in so many ways. But notice your Bible, there are three things here that I want to show you this right here in these few verses here. Eight things altogether, but I want you to look right here about the power of the Spirit. And notice what he said. He said to make the Gentiles obedient, but he said by word, and he said by deed. In other words, he said by word. Faith come by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. He believed the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He believed people could get saved by him preaching the gospel and getting the gospel into those villages, into that area. And we'll come back to that in just a moment. But he said by word, he believed in getting out the word of God. That when I worked for Oliver B. Green, we printed, one of the things we did every day, we printed 100,000 32-page tracts every day, and we sent them all over the world, and thousands of people accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. So Oliver B. Green believed in the printed page, and Paul said, by word, by the gospel, but he said also, he said, by deed. In other words, that's our action. That's our personality. That's our calling. That's what you can do. That's what I can do by our involvement, you see. Paul said by word, he said by deed. For 10 years he was all over the known world, and he was sharing the gospel of the grace of God. But I want you to notice something else here. Notice in verse number 19, he said, through mighty signs and wonders. Now the signs and wonders there, don't be afraid of that, because that goes back to that of Mark chapter number 16. There were five of them. We call them the sign gifts. And you see, in other words, the sign gifts were given. And we understand in 1 Corinthians 14 that tongues was that of a sign to who? Not to the believer, but to the unbeliever. Who was the unbeliever there? He was talking about was that of the Jew or that of the circumcision. And you find out how that God gave them sign gifts because the Word of God was not written. And you see, when they would go into the area and what they would say, people would, you know, maybe they doubted that what they were saying was authentic. Well, God gave them the sign gifts to make what they were saying to be authentic. He confirmed the word by signs and wonders. And you can see that through the book of Acts. The book of Acts is a transitional book. You see in Acts chapter 2 when tongues was used, or tongues was there, you know who was present? It was Jews. In Acts chapter number 10, you'll find when tongues was present, there's only three times tongues was present in the book of Acts. In Acts 10, you'll find tongues present, and you'll find who was there. My friend, yes, Gentiles were getting saved, but there was also Jews present, and they were receiving the Lord. And then in Acts chapter number 19, when Paul was in the area of Ephesus, and you'll find tongues was present. Who was present? It was those, my friend, that got saved who were Jews. My friend, you'll find there were people that of John the Baptist's area. But anyway, but those are the three times you'll find in the book of Acts, the tongues is used. And you see those mighty signs and wonders. You see in the latter years, and you find the Lord about 33 A.D., you'll find Paul's ministry covered about 35 years altogether. And by the turn of the century, you'll find your epistles in the Word of God, my friend, being written. And you'll find how that Paul said, he said, Trophimus have I left in Miletus sick. Why did he leave him sick? If he had the power to heal, and he did over and over and over, but in his latter life, he left a man who was one of his servants or his workers, fellow workers, he left him sick. Why? Sign gifts are going off the scene now. But anyway, I don't have time, much time to get in all that. But don't you see right here, he said, by the power of the Spirit. You see, Paul, by the power of the Holy Ghost of God, was able to accomplish what he accomplished. It's not in our ability. It's not, my friend, humanly, but it must be by Spirit. He said, the power of the Holy Ghost of God. Paul said, by word. He said, by deed. He said, through mighty signs and wonders. But he said, by the power of the Spirit of God. And we must get back, my friend, to the power of the Holy Ghost of God. But don't you see this right here. Notice what he said. He said, so that from. That's amazing how he says this so, timidly, or it seems like here's 35 years. Here's 10 years of phenomenal traveling. And you'll find he said, so that from Jerusalem, but he says roundabout. Now hear me out just for a moment, the roundabout. When you come to that roundabout, in Europe they have roundabouts. And I've been on those roundabouts. You've got to get on the roundabout to go over here, go over here, go over here, whatever. And you get off where you want to go. But Paul says, and roundabout. Well, you see, Paul in the area, God, in other words, you find the book of Acts covers around 30, 31 years. Luke closes it out in Acts 28 around 63 A.D. But you find out how that, of course, in the impact of the gospel, you'll find in Acts chapter 2, and then you see Peter preach, 3,000 saved, 5,000 saved, multitudes saved, priests were getting saved, 20 to 25,000 people saved, my friend, just in the early part there of the book of Acts, in the Jerusalem church. But then when Stephen was stoned in Acts 7, it pushed the church out. And when you take Acts 1:8, he says, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me. He said, both Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, outermost part of the earth, but they never moved out of Jerusalem. And we find out when Stephen was stoned, my friend, I believe it was there, not at Stephen's gate, but at Skull Hill area, and you find Stephen stoned. If you'll take Acts 1:8, turn the numbers around to 8:1, for the first time now, the church is going into the area of Judea and Samaria. But then when Saul got saved in Acts chapter number 9, it said, so the churches had rest. Did you know that Philip started churches? Did you know that Peter and John in Acts chapter number 8 started churches? My friend, you'll find out how there were more churches than that just the one in the area of Jerusalem. But then, in Acts chapter number 10, God opened the, or Saul got saved 9, chapter number 10, you'll find God gave Peter the vision, and you'll find how Cornelius, my friend, salvation was granted unto the Gentiles. There are three major conversions in the book of Acts. You'll find the son of Ham in chapter number 8, the son of Shem in chapter number 9, and the son of Japheth there in Acts chapter number 10. Ten major sermons throughout the book of Acts. But anyway, we come to chapter number 11, and that's when God raised up the church of Antioch, Syria. And now, my friend, from Peter to that of Paul, and from Jerusalem to that of Antioch, Syria, and from the Jew to that of the Gentile, and now you'll find missionaries are going to be sent out, my friend, there from the church of Antioch, Syria. We come to chapter number 13, and we find from chapter 13, chapter 12 was a time of persecution, and we come to chapter 13, and we realize there in chapter 13 how that now my friend Paul and Barnabas and John Mark, who my friend was there, of course, the servant that went with them, and you'll find how, we call him the caretaker, but anyway, we'll find out how they were sent out. And there on that two-year campaign covering 2,000 miles, and there when they left, you'll find how they left. My friend Antioch came to Seleucia, or came to Salamis, came to Seleucia, then to Salamis, and then to Paphos, then to Pergamum, Pamphylia, Antioch, Pisidia, came to Iconium, Lystra, and Derbe. All of those areas, you see, my friend, there were really four to five main churches. We call them the southern churches of Galatia. Paul wrote the book of Galatians back after Acts 15, or some believe it was in Acts chapter number 20, when it was the area of that of Greece. Now, but wait a minute. Round about 2 years, southern church of Galatia. Then we come to the second campaign that started there in Acts chapter number 15. And for 4 years, you'll find Paul at that time, he was saying to go to Bithynia. And God said no. He came to Mysia. And then he came to a seaport called Troas. And from there, he received the Macedonian call. I believe Paul had daily Macedonian calls, my friend, from all over the known world. But he started in Acts 16. He started what is called the Church of Philippi. In Acts chapter 17, he started the Church of Thessalonica. And I'm just giving you some of the main churches. There are other churches. My friend, I can show you other churches throughout the book of Acts that were started. But I'm just telling you, Acts 16, Philippi, 17, Thessalonica, 18, Corinth, 19, Ephesus. And chapter 18, and when he was in Phrygia, he started also what is called the Church of Colossae. But then we come, I want to show you something in the Bible. I never saw this before. Go to the book of Acts. And I got to hurry. Man, I tell you, I got to hurry. Now, go to Acts chapter number 19 quickly. I'm just kind of showing you the roundabout. I may not be able to give you all the 8 points, but we'll get to one or two of them anyway now. Notice in Acts chapter number 19, Paul's in Ephesus. He's in a synagogue 3 months in verse 7 and 8. And of course, you'll find how that they speak evil of that way. Then we come to verse number 10. It always bothered me, preacher. When and where in the book of Acts do we find the other five churches of the book of Revelation started? We know in Ephesus, Acts 19. We probably there in Acts 18 when Paul was in the area of Phrygia. And you find Phrygia, Colossae, and you find Hierapolis, and you find that, my friend, of the Laodiceans, and Colossae and Laodiceans. And we know that the book of Acts 19 was Ephesus. Acts 18 probably was that of the Laodiceans. What about all the other five churches? What about, my friend, God would not let Paul go to northeast Asia. And God said, you go northwest. And he wanted him to go to Europe. And my friend, from Europe, later on, the gospel came to America. Amen. Don't you see this right here in Acts 19? From the schoolhouse, from the school of one Tyrannus. Whether he rented the building, they let him use it. My friend, the Bible said, and this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all, he said, all they that dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. My friend, from that time, you'll find the Pergamos, Thyatira, you'll find every one of those areas, my friend, received the gospel from the schoolhouse of Tyrannus. It was not Philippi that was the greatest, my friend, campaign to the greatest church. But my friend, listen, from the area of Ephesus and from that of the school of Tyrannus, Paul started that campaign, my friend, 2 to 3 years that he reached all of northern Asia, northeast of Asia Minor. Now let me show you something else. We come to the area, notice your Bible, verse number 19, the book of Romans. 15:19. He said, through mighty signs, wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem round about. But then he gives another location here. I don't have time to get in that third journey because it's just too much. But anyway, he says, round about. 10 years of ministry, round about, he calls it. But he says, unto Illyricum. In one of the epistles, he says there, Titus, in the area of Dalmatia. When you study the geography there, you'll find how that my friend in Dalmatia, you'll find there in the area of Illyricum, that you know my friend, the gospel went all the way up there, preacher, up to southern Germany at that time. And my friend, you'll see that Paul said, from Jerusalem round unto Illyricum. But anyway, you'll find out. He said, I have fully preached the Word of God. Notice your Bible. He said, I have fully preached the gospel, he said, of Christ. But look at verse number 20. So we see the power of the Spirit. But then we come to verse number 19. We see the place of service. And then in verse number 21, we're going to see here how, my friend, we find the prediction of the Scripture. In verse 21, as it is written, to whom he was not spoken, they shall see, and they that have not heard shall understand. That's the Gentiles, beloved. But then I want you to look at the next verse. Go down to verse number 22. For which cause I have been much hindered from coming to you. Paul did not start the church at Rome. I believe the church at Rome was started out of Acts chapter 2 when you had 3 million Jews that came in for the day of Pentecost. You say, well, how do you know that, preacher? Well, in 70 A.D., Titus, a Roman emperor, came in, and he came in on the Feast of Weeks. He came in on the day of Pentecost. Why? Because that's when, my friend, all the Jews, you see, 16 nations, some say 15, but one of the dialects is in two dialects, and we say 16 nations. It's estimated 3 million Jews that came in on the day of Pentecost. And, my friend, you'll find 3,000 got saved, and they carried the gospel back to Rome. They carried it, my friend, to that of the area of Mesopotamia. North and south and east, west and east, all over the world, my friend, the gospel spread from Acts chapter number 2. But then we come here in this verse. I can just about give an altar call right here. Notice what he said. For which cause I've been much hindered from coming to you. What hindered him? Church planting, starting churches, reaching people. What's hindering you and I? Is it recreation? Is it entertainment? Is it, my friend, listen, our involvement in things that are maybe just selfish? I don't know. You see what I'm trying to say, as Paul said, he said, I have been much hindered from coming to you to Rome. He said, I've wanted to come all these years. He said, round about 10 years of campaign, round about thousands of churches. Did you know that in Crete alone, it's been estimated that over 100 churches were in Crete alone? Oh, listen, there's so much here to get into. Don't you notice the next verse? Look at verse 23. Paul says, but now, here's the time element. Having no more place in these parts. What a statement. What a pioneer. A man that had fortitude. A man that had drive. A man that had initiative. A man that God saved on the road to Damascus. A man that was so vicious and malicious and cruel and full of hatred and blasphemous. And God saved him and God changed him. And my friend set him on fire, my friend. And he went all over the known world of that day and carried the gospel. He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. He believed in the death, the burial, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, but now, he said, show me the place. Show me the area. Show me the territory. He said, there is no other place. Having no more place in these parts. I've covered it all. And he says, and a great desire these many years to come unto you, but look at this right here. Verse 24. Whensoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you, for I will trust to see you in my journey. And I have my own ideas that when he went to Spain, and I won't get into all that. And it be brought on my way thither by you, if first I be somewhat filled with your company. But now I go to Jerusalem. He's taking up an offering. minister of the saints, for it pleased them of Macedonia Caia to make a contribution for the four saints which are in Jerusalem. Verse 27. We see the partakers of salvation, the plan of the sovereign, verse 23. But he says here in this verse, he says in 27, it had pleased them verily, and their debtors they are, for if the Gentiles have been made partakers of spiritual things, their duty also is to minister to them in carnal things. In other words, Paul said, hey, he said, you know, the gospel came from the Jew. The Jew brought you the gospel. And since they are having persecution, the poor saints, we're going to take up an offering among the Gentiles. I'm going to take it to Jerusalem, and you receive those spiritual things. They ought to receive your carnal things. You see, I have a lot. I'm indebted to Harold Sider. I'm indebted to Oliver B. Green. I've been indebted to Carl Barrett, who was preaching the day I got saved. I've been indebted to Dr. Donald Norton, the man that ordained me in 1977. I'm indebted. How many of you, my friend, have been under Pastor Angel's ministry? You've been blessed by his ministry. Some of you have been saved through the preaching of this man of God. You've been blessed. You've been edified. You've been comforted. You've been exhorted, my friend. And God has blessed your life because, my friend, of this man. See, you've received the spiritual things, he ought to receive the carnal things. Buy him a suit. Amen. Buy him a car. Amen. Am I doing good? Now, you see, that's what the Word of God said. And the Bible says here, notice your Bible, notice what he said. He said in verse 28, he said, when therefore I have performed this and have sealed it to them, he said, sealed to them this loot. Is that what he said? What do you call it? How do we look at that? Money? Loot? No, God's called it. God called it fruit. God said that fruit, that offering, I call it, God said, I call it fruit. God, the Holy Ghost, put that word in our fruit. Like the book of Philippians, when Paul was in prison in Rome, he wrote the book of Philippians, you find he said, this fruit to your account. Here he calls it right here, he said, when he said, this fruit, I will come to you, he said, in Spain. In your mission conference in February, it's about money, yes. But you ought to look at it as fruit. Fruit to your account. Souls in the balance. My friend, your roundabout. This church is roundabout. My friend, your participation, your involvement, your supporting, your praying, your giving. My friend, listen, all of that has happened to spread the gospel around the world. And that's your roundabout. But don't you see something else, and I'm through. I'd like to give an invitation, preacher. Notice what he said here. In verse 29, he said, and I'm sure that when I come unto you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessings of the gospel of He said, of Christ. Now, verse 30, now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus' sake, Christ's sake, and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me for your prayers to God for me. Paul believed in prayers. We have the prayers of the saints, partakers of salvation, petitions of a soldier. There are four prayer requests that Paul has in verse 31, 32, and then the peace of satisfaction. You see in verse 33, the God of peace. He's called the God of consolation and patience and consolation in verse 5, the God of hope in verse 13, but the God of peace. Why did he call it the God of peace? In other words, because Jew and Gentile that were so had so much animosity. Now in the body of Christ, he wrote the book of Ephesians back to the church of Ephesus and explained that, my friend, of the mystery of the body. And Jew and Gentile in the same body, but yet there's one body, there's one faith, there's one Lord, there's one baptism. But you know, Paul's roundabout covered 10 years. 35 years of altogether his ministry, but 10 years he covered a known world of that day with the gospel. You see, I remember years ago I was working for Oliver B. Green. I remember, preacher, it was July the 26th, 1976, that Dr. Green died. I hadn't been at Tabernacle. I was second or third year of Bible college. And I remember that they called us up. They called us up to the prayer room to the main office that morning from the bottom part where I worked in the book room. I worked the book room, tape room, different places. They called us up and they said, pray, said Dr. Green. On 180 stations daily, reaching thousands upon thousands of people to God. And they said, pray, because they taken him to the hospital. Well, I didn't believe he was going to die. I did not believe that. I prayed earnestly, but I did not believe that God take him. But at 12 o'clock, they called us back up, and they said, we're going to want us to come pray, then want you to go ahead and go home. It's serious. Well, then later on that day, about 2 or 3 o'clock, Tom Green, his oldest boy, got on the WMU, Bob Jones radio station, and said, we want everybody that has a certain blood type, I want you to come to the Green Memorial Hospital. My dad is going to have surgery. He has an aneurysm. He'll literally bleed to death on the operating table if we don't have a tremendous amount of blood. So everybody come and give that certain type. You have a certain type of blood, you come and donate blood because we're going to need a massive amount of it. Well, later on, we were lined up, all lined up, hallways were filled of men, given ready to give blood. Dr. Ralph Horn was his right-hand man, one of them. I remember him coming out of one of the rooms. He had his head dropped, his lip quivering, tears running down his face. We knew it was over then. He'd gone home to be with God. Now, I remember that was such a solemn day. I never had nothing like that affect me that way. What were we going to do next? Would the gospel hour go on? Well, before he died, he had two boys, his two sons. Right before he died, David, who has a kind of like a stiff neck. Tom has a arm, a short, about right here, where maybe 2 to 3 fingers right here. He's a brilliant lawyer, House of Representatives, South Carolina. He's, of course, David was a physicist. He could really be a nuclear scientist. He's a very scholarly man. Has his own law firm now. But yet, those two boys, before their dad died, they said, Dad, we'll carry on the gospel hour. We'll make a commitment to keep it going. We'll not let it die. We'll keep you on the air, keep you preaching. We'll keep spreading the literature, selling the books, and getting out the tapes. Now, they're not on 180 stations, but they're only about 35 to 40 stations. And, of course, they're keeping it going. They've been faithful. And they made a commitment before their dad died. Now, I wonder tonight, how strong is our commitment to our Heavenly Father to get out the gospel? My friend, we believe He died. We believe He shed His blood. We believe in the death, burial, resurrection. You know, there were 10 days of interval, 40 days He proved Himself alive, 10 post-resurrection appearances. Daily, my friend, appearances of that bodily resurrected Savior. There were 500 brethren that saw Him at one time, but there were only 120 in the upper room. I wonder if some went in and some left early. I wonder, my friend, if some of God's people would have been there that day that they would have missed. They wouldn't have been there. Because 500 brethren saw Him at one time, but there's only 120 in the upper room. You see, tonight, all my life, I want every thread of my body, my being, my talent, my voice, my participation, I want to be involved in getting out the gospel. And God can use you. I had a black man put his arm around me. I just had come off of a terrible, terrible background of drugs and all that stuff and of cocaine. I'm not exemplifying sin. I almost died. I almost went to hell over all that. God had mercy and let me live. 1 week before I got saved, a black man put his arm around me. He said, Richard, he said, God has a plan for your life. And here I stand now. And we've helped start 123 churches. Thousands have been saved. And I want to be committed all my life to be used of God. I want to be the best I can be in getting out the gospel. Because Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. And tonight, maybe they come to the instruments and play softly. I wonder how many of you would come and gather around this altar tonight and make that commitment. Lord, help me to be committed as never before in getting out the gospel, and telling souls about you, about the Lord Jesus Christ, about His death, burial, resurrection. Because, my friend, listen, I don't believe that everybody within a 50-mile radius of this church has had a clear-cut presentation of the Word of God.